Welcome back. This week we will look at the latter half of John 7, beginning with verse 25. I have opened these introductory comments on John 7 by reading 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. This is my challenge. Be diligent and faithful in Bible study. Follow through on our simple approach. Read, write, share, and listen. I want to encourage you today to share the word daily. This means regularly, not legalistically. The point is that if we have a close relationship with someone, there is a constant giving and receiving from one another. This is called koinonia, or fellowship. Sharing the word is central to our fellowship in Christ. My experience is that the Lord works powerfully for this sharing in a group of two or three people. Proverbs 2:6 says, "The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." One primary way the Lord gives us wisdom and understanding is through sharing the word with one another. Let's pray. Father, wisdom and understanding come from your mouth. We want to honor you and worship you today. And as we come to your word, give us a heart to seek you first in all things. We believe you today to lead us and to speak to us by your Spirit. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. So let's begin. In this audio commentary, we will cover the final three sections, the latter half of John 7, because they're interconnected. However, I will separately provide a detailed commentary on John 7, 37 to 39. Let's begin with the first section in John 7, 25 to 36. Jesus was sent by his Father and was returning to his Father. Let's begin with verse 25. Therefore, some of them of Jerusalem said, "Isn't this he who they seek to kill? Behold, he speaks openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the rulers indeed know that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man comes from. When Christ comes, no one will know where he comes from." When the Lord came to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, in chapter 7, verse 2, only about 6 months remained before he would again come to Jerusalem for his crucifixion at the Passover the following spring. From this point forward, now more than ever, Jesus would walk in the looming shadow of the cross. He knew people were trying to kill him. Interestingly, in verse 26, people wondered if the rulers knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus was teaching publicly at that point, but they did nothing to stop him. Verse 27 reveals that some of the misconceptions people had. First, they said that no one knew where Jesus came from. They said in verse 27, "When Christ comes, no one will know where he comes from." This is not in the Bible, but is just an idea that spread among the people. Actually, they knew that Jesus was from Nazareth. Also, the Jewish leaders knew that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, they quoted Micah 5:2, when the wise men came and asked them where the Messiah would be born. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah would be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. From you will come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" That's in Matthew chapter 2. Verse 28, "Jesus therefore cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, 'You both know me and know where I come from. I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you don't know. I know him because I came from him, and he sent me.'" Why do you think Jesus emphasized that the Father sent him and was returning to him? This is one of the meditation questions. In verse 28, Jesus said, You both know me and know where I am from. Jesus focused not on where he was from, but on who sent him. He said, I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true. He did not try to explain to them that he was born in Bethlehem, but pointed to his divine origin. He explained that they did not know him, and they did not know the Father. Jesus boldly asserted that he not only knew the Father, but was sent by him. He was once again claiming to be God. He was not simply born into this world like another human being, but he was sent to the earth by the Father. This means that he existed before he was born as a human being. Verse 30, they sought therefore to take him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. But of the multitude, many believed in him. They said, when the Christ comes, won't he do more signs than those which this man has done, will he? They tried to arrest Jesus, but his time had not come. In the midst of this tumult, it says, many believed in him. While people were accusing and attacking Jesus, some people were confused or rejected Jesus, but many believed. God is at work in people's hearts, even when the world is going crazy. They saw the signs Jesus had done and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than this man? Verse 32, the Pharisees heard the multitudes murmuring these things concerning him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. When the Jewish leaders heard that some in the crowd were believing in Jesus, they sent officers to arrest him. Apparently, they were worried about Jesus' popularity among the people, which threatened their rule. Verse 33, Jesus said, I will be with you a little longer, then I will go to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you won't find me. You cannot come where I am. Jesus knew they were trying to kill him. He told the Pharisees that after a short time, he would go to his Father who sent him. He told the people that they would look for him, but would not be able to find him because he would be with his Father. Verse 35, the Jews therefore said among themselves, where will this man go that we won't find him? Will he go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this word, he said, you will seek me and won't find me, and where I am, you cannot come. By the first century, Jewish communities had sprung up in cities all over the world, the known world. In Acts, we see that Paul always went to the Jewish synagogue when he entered a new place to share the gospel with the Jews first. When they heard Jesus say he was going away, they speculated that he might be going to live somewhere outside of Israel. However, Jesus was going to his Father, and they could not follow him there. Now, this next section I've entitled, Jesus Promises to Give Living Water to Anyone Who is Thirsty, John chapter 7, 37 to 39, beginning with verse 37. Now on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from him will flow rivers of living water. And he said this about the Spirit, which those believing him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. So what is the living water Jesus spoke of, and how can we drink living water? Well, since the flow of the story continues to the end of John 7, I will give a few brief comments on these verses 37 to 39, but will include a separate audio commentary on these verses because they include Jesus' amazing invitation to all who are thirsty to come to him and drink. On the last day of the feast, the eighth day, Jesus spoke these words in a loud voice. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. On every day of the feast, except the last one, a priest standing in front of the temple took a golden pitcher of water and poured it on a rock in commemoration of the water flowing out of the smitten rock, Exodus 17:6. The priest would read Zechariah 14:8 on the first day of the feast. It says, on that day, living water will flow out of Jerusalem. So this is the background of Jesus' invitation. The people were thirsty. These promises are fulfilled in Jesus, who invites everyone who is thirsty to come to him and drink. Water is a picture of the Spirit of God. Believers would not only drink the living water, but they would become channels of living water to bless a thirsty world. This is a wonderful invitation of Jesus sandwiched between chaos, conflict, and personal attacks on him. Some people believed, but many rejected Jesus and criticized him. The Jewish leaders wanted to kill him. In the middle of all this, Jesus cried out to the people, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. In the same way, Jesus cries out to the bitter and broken world today and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. What a wonderful Savior who offers the water of life to everyone who is thirsty. So please listen to the audio commentary on John 7:37-39 for more detail. And now this last section, John 7:40-52, more people talk about Jesus. Verse 40, many of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, said, this is truly a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, does the Christ come out of Galilee? Hasn't the scripture said that the Christ comes of the offspring of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So a division arose in the multitude because of him. What did the people in the crowd say about Jesus? What were their objections? Well, in this interchange, some people said Jesus was a prophet. Others said this is the Christ. But some said, does the Christ come from Galilee? Hasn't the scripture said that Christ comes from the offspring of David and from Bethlehem? They understood that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but they knew Jesus was from Galilee. A division arose among the people over this matter. It seems crazy that people with a lot of Bible knowledge can be divided, but the same thing happens today. One of the reasons Jesus came was to bring unity and to make us one in him. Bible knowledge itself doesn't bring unity. Jesus does. Verse 44, some of them would have arrested him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers, therefore, came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, why didn't you bring him? The officers said, no man ever spoke like this man. Why didn't the officers arrest Jesus? Why do you think the chief priests and Pharisees were so angry with Jesus? The officers heard Jesus speaking. He said that he came from God. He did not sound like a lunatic. On the contrary, he spoke with authority. He also claimed that God had sent him. His words seemed believable to them. Jesus also said, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. The officers wondered if this could be true. Jesus had made this passionate invitation, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. They felt the love and compassion in Jesus' words. They went back to the Pharisees who had sent them. They demanded to know why they did not arrest Jesus. The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. The Pharisees therefore answered them, verse 47, you aren't also led astray, are you? Have any of the rulers believed in him or the Pharisees? But this multitude that doesn't know the law is cursed. The Pharisees did not accept their explanation. They told the officers that they were deceived, that none of the rulers and Pharisees believed in Jesus. They said the mob around the temple who had supported Jesus was cursed because they did not follow or study the law like the Pharisees. I think most people listening to this interaction would have believed the officers, not the Pharisees. Their words were not believable. When we have heard the voice of Jesus, I think we will say with the officers, "No man ever spoke like this man. He says, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.' He says, 'Come to me and drink.' May our hearts be enthralled, captivated, and focused on hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd." Verse 50, Nicodemus, who came to him by night, being one of them, said to them, verse 51, "Does our law judge a man unless it first hears him personally and knows what he does?" They answered him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and see that no prophet has arisen from Galilee." Everyone went home to his own house. So you can hear the sarcasm and disdain in the reply of the rulers. "Are you a lowly, despised Galilean too?" They refused to admit Nicodemus was right in asking for a fair trial, but the only way they could answer him was by means of ridicule. This is an ancient debate trick. When you cannot answer the argument, attack the speaker. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you came into this messed up world for us. You suffered the attacks and rejection of many, and you endured the cross for our redemption. Thank you for continuing to offer freely the water of life to all who are thirsty. May your love and your life overflow us daily and bring life to the world around us. Amen.